Coming up on the show, it is November 1st. So goodbye to Halloween. Goodbye to October.
October's over.
That is November 1st, 2021. You're watching Morning Invest. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about all these world leaders heading into Glasgow, Scotland today for the COP26 conference. They've got a lot of work to do on how to figure out, tie up this Paris Climate Accord. But there's a lot of things interestingly happening today on the climate front. And we're going to talk about the hypocrisy of these world leaders. And frankly, what the United States is like leading the charge on hypocrisy on climate. We'll talk about that.
We're also going to talk about the baby elections happening tomorrow. It's not a midterm election. It's not a presidential year election. But we do have some gubernatorial races.
It's a good word.
It doesn't come out easy. It doesn't come out of my mouth goobu. Easily. Anyway.
Sound like you said goobu.
Yes. Goobu. So some gremlin races going on. And we're going to tell you what that means for either party.
Yes, indeed. So the gubernatorial races. And we're also going to talk about traffic stops in the United States. New York Times did a pretty explosive story about the police departments being tied, like the revenue for these police departments being tied to these traffic stops and what this has led to as it relates to police violence in the United States. You won't see this in your local news.
And we're going to tell you why you shouldn't eat cellophane wrapped chicken. It's going to scare the heck out of you.
Oh, yeah, more disgusting stories today on the show. But hey, let's get uncomfortable. It's time for Morning Invest to start on this Monday, November 1st.
All right, well, I'm not hungover from Halloween because I don't really drink, but I'm exhausted.
Yes.
I'm just exhausted from all the like mothering that goes around that. Where's your shoes? Where's your candy bag?
Do you have your cape? Do you have your shield? Do you have your Iron Man mask?
Oh my gracious. I am having to like smack myself in the face today, but I'm happy to be here with you because it's November. We're going to tell you what's trending on the internet. Here's a little preview. Is it Christmas is already trending? People are trying to already play Mariah Carey.
What? No, you can't play Christmas music.
You're not really supposed to, but people are jumping the gun. There's a lot of talk about today with the earth and the holiday season is upon us.
Well, I mean, we'll throw this out here in the chat. David, you answer this too. Like, when is the official kickoff of playing Christmas music? I think Black Friday.
Yeah, I have to admit, I agree. It should be after Thanksgiving. Sometime after Thanksgiving, but I will admit that I have been walking around the past few days singing Elvis.
Jumping the gun.
So you're already in the spirit, man.
But I don't get in the spirit. That's the crazy thing. I just like Elvis, and that's the song that popped in my head for some unknown reason. But you know, I have weird songs pop in my head all the time. So
you're such a like you have such specific rites around the holiday, rites and rituals. You like this, but not that.
Yeah, very specific. Yeah. It's when you get to be a man of a certain age, then you get to be like a curmudgeon about holidays. You're like, oh, we don't do that in a foster house. We don't, you know, you get to, when you're in your 20s, people are like, we're having a party down here for this thing, for this holiday. You're like, I'll go. You know, it's a festivist party, sure. We're doing baking cookies of this. I'll go. And then when you're in your 40s and your 50s, you're like, I don't even celebrate that holiday anymore.
Bah humbug.
I am working my way towards there. I do a lot for the kids, but then I get there and I see them shoving candy in their face and it's really hard to look the other way and think, oh, it's fine. This is a healthy activity. Because then my youngest had a cough when she went to bed that she did not have in the morning. You know, they say that emergency room visits spike for children right after Halloween because they lower their immune system with sugar and don't sleep. And then they all get sick and have to rush to the emergency. And so I'm just like, you're enjoying it, but don't get used to it. And then I literally brushed their teeth for like 5 minutes each last night. I couldn't even take it. So I'm like, why do I like this? Because by the end of the holiday, I hate everybody.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Well, and I just don't like the way that it's also commercialized. That's my problem with it all. I'd rather get together and celebrate with people just whenever. Like, let's have a good meal or something. But like on these commercial holidays where it's all about spending money and,
All right, we got through it. I don't have to worry about that again until next week. The candy is going to mysteriously disappear and show up next year in the pinata during their birthdays.
Right. So get ready for the next round of holidays. We got Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And as Costanza says, birthdays and holidays. Does it ever end? It never ends. All right, let's get started with the show today. We've got a lot to get to today. Let's start with this climate hypocrisy. So President Biden, the other members of the G20, this is what I love, right? They were in Rome for the G20, okay? Mm-hmm. Then they're leaving. Then they decided they're all there. They're all the same leaders are in Rome together.
Yes.
For the G20.
With their respective entourage.
Right, they've got their massive entourages. Is entourage plural?
I have no idea.
Is entourage, anybody know in the chat if entourage is plural? Let us know. Yeah, entourage.
Entourages.
So they had all their entourages and they were all there in Rome. Mm-hmm. So much so that they were flipping pennies into the Trevi Fountain as the traditional goodbye everyone moment, right? Why didn't they have the climate meeting there? So instead, let's all get into our private planes.
Yes.
Let's all take all of our security vehicles and let's fly to Glasgow, Scotland. Does this seem like a good idea? Okay, this is just like the 30,000 foot level of this whole thing.
So what is the climate impact of the climate conference?
Right.
High.
Right. Very high.
I would say. Yes.
So that's just like the meta. Sorry, Mark Zuckerberg. I know you probably got that copy written now, but like that's sort of like the meta approach to this thing.
Yes.
Right. And then now there's a lot of thorny issues that they have to now deal with at this COP21 conference. I mean, they have to figure out, this is all of the Paris Climate Accords crap that they needed to figure out and button up that they haven't done over the past few years. And now this is the conference to button all that stuff up.
Absolutely. So I was listening to an opinion piece this morning and the person who was, I think it was on NPR, he was like, you know, when they came up with this in 2015, they had planned for the reduction in fossil fuel to be like a bunny slope, right? Like we were up pretty high, like let's all come down together. Now, even if we do a fraction of what we had intended to do in 2015 with the Paris Climate Accords, it's going to be a black diamond. And we're all going to be like, what the heck? Because nobody weaned themselves off of S. You know what I'm going to say?
Yes. I mean, look at this. So just to give you some context to what Natalie's talking about, this is a front page story this morning on the Financial Times. U.S. coal use jumps as power generators switch from natural gas. By the way, if you're looking at like natural gas on the stock market this morning, like if you're a natural gas investor, you just got hosed big time. Natural gas plummeted as a resource. U.S. coal is now at one of the highest levels we've ever been in American history. More coal use is now taking off in the United States than ever before because we've switched from natural gas. And I mean, it's amazing that in, you know, the president who has promised to curb the use of natural fossil fuels is now at the COP26 conference saying, you know, we want you all to follow our lead and reduce fossil fuel usage in the around the world. And no wonder China's not showing up to it. No wonder Russia's not showing up to it. They're saying, wait a second. You're going to lecture us?
Right. At least they're out there saying we're not going to do that, right? Whereas the rest right. whereas the rest of the Western world is like, we really want to. Meanwhile, you know, the stimulus package that Biden put forward on Friday does have more than half of its budget moving towards clean energy, but it's not passing. It's not being voted on. We have absolutely no news for you. We thought by this point we'd at least have a date for it to come to the House floor or the Senate floor. Nothing, right? So all the president can say when he goes and meets with these other dudes is, I'm trying, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's my intention,
yeah.
But nothing actually is happening. David, are you trying to say something?
Yeah, I was just trying to say, I feel like secretly behind the scenes, Mr. Burns is running the whole show from The Simpsons. Because it just feels like we're going backwards toward coal. Like,
yeah.
We talk about, you know, being progressive and all this other stuff, and you look at places like Norway, like that's a progressive, like if we should be more like that, we should be watching what they're doing. Instead, we're going backwards into coal again.
Yeah, backwards into coal. And the United States is exporting huge amounts of fossil fuel. Here's a front page story this morning. The U.S. may be on the verge of passing the most consequential climate legislation ever, but President Biden is expected to tout it as a big climate change meeting in Glasgow this week. But that won't change one of the country's major sources of greenhouse gas emissions, fossil fuel exports. The United States is among the countries that plan to keep exporting oil, natural gas, and coal for decades to come. Okay. There's a big bowl of hypocrisy for you. Add to that another big bowl of hypocrisy this morning from the COP, well, from the G20 as President Biden was flying out. He says basically, we need Russia and we need these other countries who've pulled back, and Saudi Arabia, who've pulled back on their oil production. because, you know, the cost of a barrel of oil right now is at $84. It's heading up. It's probably going to hit 90 or even higher. Mm-hmm. So gas prices are going up. Oil prices have been going up. And at this conference, President Biden had the cojones to say to the other members that were there, you've got to start increasing oil production.
Okay.
What? And by the way, the irony was not lost on him. He said, look, I understand that this is a bit ironic that I were here at this climate conference wanting to curb production of oil, and I'm asking you to ramp up production to curb oil prices.
But that's what we need. So
wouldn't it make sense to allow, you talk about the price of things, right? Wouldn't it allow, if prices of oil did skyrocket?
Yes.
Wouldn't that actually help the cause of trying to move people off of our dependence of this
stuff? But there are so many dominoes that would fall. For instance, inside the European Union, there are countries like Portugal that could grow their own wheat, but they're not allowed because of the European Union. They have to import it from, say, I don't know, Germany or wherever. So if there's not enough money to buy the gas to do that, then Portugal would have to say, okay, we need to be less dependent on foreign imports and start to grow our own wheat, which they could, but they are currently not allowed, right? So all of these things needs to happen in order to allow the economy to react to unavailable gas. And nobody's making those rules, right?
Right.
There are plenty of people, plenty of Europeans who do not want to have this kind of economy anymore, where you can't grow one thing in one place so that you are, you know, this cohesive European Union. A lot of Europeans feel like they don't need that. They can be self-sufficient countries. And the United States, in the States, we also have this idea that certain states could be self-sufficient, but it doesn't work that way, you know. It just wouldn't work because people in Chicago like having avocados in January, and really it should only be people in California who have those, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I hate to use this guy as an example because God knows I can't stand the guy, but I think he's right in this issue. Ted Cruz, oil guy, was asked about this very issue on the climate conference, and here's what Ted Cruz from Texas had to say about it on Biden's hypocrisy.
It is amazing on policy after policy, the hypocrisy that Joe Biden and the left shows. When it comes to climate, John Kerry is in all likelihood going to fly to this climate conference in his private jet. He flies just about everywhere in a private jet. So he lectures everyone on climate. You know, when I come up to D.C., I'm flying on Southwest Airlines. I'm sitting in a commercial plane like everybody else, but not John
Kerry.
We
saw you when you went to Mexico.
Said, right. This is a paraphrase, but he said...
Yeah, when I go to Cancun, I always fly coach.
We know that. We watched.
Right.
Look, for someone like me, it makes sense to fly private everywhere. Well, look, Thurston Howell, that's fine, but you're very happy destroying people's jobs in Texas and all across the country and lecturing us. And the amazing thing is, if you examine the Biden administration's policies, they don't actually believe what they're saying. So when they talk about climate, they talk in apocalyptic terms about how carbon emissions are going to destroy the economy, going to destroy the world. The very first thing Joe Biden did as president is he ended the Keystone Pipeline. With one stroke of a pen, he destroyed 11,000 jobs, including 8,000 high-paying union jobs. And that made the environment worse. Why is that? Because the Canadian...
Anyway, that's Ted Cruz calling out the hypocrisy.
What are you saying? Is that you think, what about that got under your skin?
Well, I mean, I think what he's pointing out is that the way that these guys have to travel and then lecture the rest of the world is exactly right. So President Biden's flying to this conference, lecturing the rest of the world on reduction of fossil fuels. And here back home, we're increasing the amount of coal that we're using. And back home, we're increasing the amount of exports of oil, fossil fuels, natural gas. And we're also asking Russia and China, or Russia and Saudi Arabia and others, to increase their oil production.
I mean, it's kind of our MO, because we also tell you not to be terrorists while being terrorists. I mean,
we love to tell other people, and again, no wonder China didn't show up to this conference. They're not interested in being lectured by the United States, and that's fine, and I get that. You know, and also one of the big things that came from this conference, President Biden showed up in Rome with an 85-vehicle motorcade. President Biden had a 85-vehicle motorcade.
You can't even get 85 vehicles on the street of Rome. Can you imagine? They're so tiny.
Right. Where are you going to fit all that stuff?
You know what? It would have been 86, but Jen Psaki has COVID and she didn't go.
So they all get their own car.
Perhaps.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's COVID, you know. I mean.
Yeah.
But look, there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of work to be done at this climate conference. They've got to figure out these carbon offsets. They've got to figure out an agreement on carbon emissions. And the clock is ticking. You know, Boris Johnson of the UK said, we're 1 minute away from midnight. Like, we're that close. And it would be nice if we had some of that same determination in the United States to get stuff done.
Yes, but we don't.
And also, just think about this. You know, we've had these all these arguments that people can't get a pandemic relief or anything like that because who's going to pay for it? Yet, you know who paid for those 85 vehicles to in Rome? We did. So they just always magically have money for all this overspending. But when it comes to things that matter for us, well, all of a sudden the money's not available.
Oh, my gosh. I was listening to a friend talk about some Halloween parties at consulates around the world, and I'm like, this is our tax dollars playing for like big parties at the embassies around for American holidays. I was like, cool. We have a budget crisis, but I'm glad.
Yeah.
Glad we're doing that.
Well, we only have a budget crisis when it comes to helping us.
Right. I'm cold. I'm going to put on a sweater.
Thank you for telling us that.
Yeah. I just don't want to. All of a sudden I'm in different wardrobe.
While you layer up over here, okay. I'm going to tell our layer.
Anyway, all good.
All good? You sure you're good?
I think so.
Okay, good. You're not cold anymore. All right, good.
I did think of bringing like blankets to the show.
It's warm up here.
There's a Snuggie over there on the chair.
I know. Grover's Snuggie is over there. He's not even using. He's running around here somewhere. Anyway, glad you're warmer now.
Thank you.
It is warm up here. We've got a lot more to get to. We're going to talk about the stimulus in just a moment, the very latest on when this will be brought to the House of Representatives. We heard from President Biden yesterday on this issue, and we're going to show you some shocking new poll numbers for President Biden also. And we're going to talk about U.S. food safety among the issues we're going to talk about. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Podium. Podium is fantastic. It's been transformative for businesses. And I want to tell you how Podium works, because most people, I don't know if you're like me, 6'2" and handsome. No, I don't know if you're like me, when you want to work with a business, you want immediate answers for things, don't you? Like whether you're buying stuff from, you know, Amazon or whatever, we chat. We want text messages. I love that our dentist texts us to let us know where the appointment, like, are you coming to your appointment?
Yes.
You know, back and forth. And that's where Podium comes in, because it helps you modernize your business. If you own a business, you know there aren't enough hours in a day to waste playing phone tag. The list of customers you need to reach doesn't get any shorter, especially when a business is good. That's why local businesses everywhere turn to Podium. Podium makes every interaction as easy as sending a text message, so everything that makes your business great can get done faster. Podium isn't just a better way to communicate, it's a better way to do everything. Gathering reviews, collecting payments, and even marketing to your customers. Podium makes it all easy as pressing send. You won't just save up more time, you're going to grow your business, get more done. With Podium, you'll close deals with customers before the competition even has a chance to call them back. You can join more than 100,000 businesses that already use Podium to streamline their customer interactions. Get started for free. Right now, try it for free. Go to podium.com/invest. You have to use that URL to get it to try it for free. Or you can sign up for a paid Podium account and get a free credit card reader right for your business, which is great. Save you a bunch of money on that. Restrictions apply. That's podium.com/invest. We thank them for their support of Morning Invest. All right.
Okay. So it's election time in many states. Maybe not many. About three or four.
Yeah.
It's not midterm election. And obviously, you know, it's not a presidential election. But it is time for governor elections in three states. It's Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Virginia. All eyes are on Virginia right now because Virginia voted Democrat in the presidential election. In fact, it handed the president that state by 10 points.
Say by landslide.
Yes. It normally does lean Democratic by and large. But now there's a governor race that is up for grabs. And it is at this point too close to call. And it is leaning Republican. Now, this is surprising because Democrats are in power, because Virginia is usually so blue. And it just was unexpected. Now, 538 blog, which is what you're looking at right here, which is giving us its prediction, says this is thanks to an unpopular Democratic president in the White House. So obviously we've talked about lately Biden's approval ratings are going down. I think that hinged on the exit from Afghanistan and now the economy and the fact that certain supply chains are just not running smoothly. And it does seem now that this candidate Youngkin is in fact going to pull ahead. And this, you know, we don't want to be hyperbolic about it, but we will say that it doesn't bode well for the president. And it seems like when next year's midterms come around, the bloom will be off the rose for the Democratic Party.
It already is. I mean, if you look at the poll numbers this morning for President Biden right now is at Trump level poll numbers right now. Lowest of his presidency at 42%. I mean, that's very, very low. He's got an economy that is shrinking, has enormous problems. So when you look at this Youngkin McAuliffe number right now, I mean, again, Biden wins it by 10 points. And in that amount of time, we have a race this tight right now. And by the way, if this goes the way of Republicans in Virginia, that is a absolute disaster for Democrats. That is a huge, huge disaster for Democrats. Chuck Todd this weekend had an analysis of the new poll that just came out yesterday, the new NBC poll, on Meet the Press. Take a look at his breakdown of these new President Biden poll numbers.
See news poll out this morning that's filled with some scary news for the Democrats. The overarching message, Americans have lost their confidence in President Biden and their optimism for the country, at least they have right now. Just 22% of adults say we're headed in the right direction. A shocking 71% say we're on the wrong track, and that includes a near majority of Democrats who are saying that. President Biden's approval rating stands at a dismal 42% versus 54% who disapprove. Believe it or not, just 2 months ago, Mr. Biden was in positive territory, 49% approving, 48% disapproving. So what's pulling down the president's numbers? Well, look at this set of numbers. Just 37% say he has the ability right now to handle a crisis versus nearly a majority who say he does not. 37% also say he's competent and effective as president. 50% disagree with that description. What's more, Republicans, believe it or not, have double-digit leads in dealing with border security, inflation, crime, national security, the economy, and shockingly, on getting things done. Democrats hold generally
it's very arbitrary,
smaller double-digit
isn't it?
Leads right. On dealing with climate change, the coronavirus, education, and abortion. And that's really it right now. It's not clear yet whether any deal struck by Democrats on the social spending and infrastructure bills will nudge Mr. Biden's numbers back into positive territory, or whether the damage to his reputation is more of a scar than a bruise. But this much is clear about the only good news for Mr. Biden and the Democrats in this poll is that the midterm elections aren't for another year.
Yeah, that is that
okay. I misspoke about Pennsylvania. It's local and judge elections. It is not governor race.
Right. It's not gubernatorial.
We are Pennsylvania voters, and so I got excited because it is time for us to vote. Yes. We have our ballots.
But this Biden agenda that he talks about, that could be the thing that ends up in some ways maybe saving him if this can pass. And there's no clear sign yet, no clear path to this getting done. He was asked yesterday at the G20, was President Biden, as to whether or not he believes that he's going to have an infrastructure bill when he gets back from this trip. Mm-hmm. And he said, I believe we will have it this week. I'm confident that we will have this thing signed, sealed, and delivered basically by the end of the week. Mm-hmm. He said, a lot of you were saying it's not going to happen. And he said, look, it might still not happen. That was his reassuring. And he said, but I'm pretty confident that this is going to be done probably by the end of the week, a stimulus package.
Are you?
No.
Me neither.
Because there's so many things to iron out. I mean, come on.
Well, and the thing is, like, it doesn't matter. Like, they say, oh, this is going to be bad for the Democrats. Is it really? No. Either way, it's bad for us. So it doesn't really matter if it's bad for them. Because, like, give me one campaign promise that he's actually kept. You know, like, I think it's funny that people still defend him. Like, Snarky for Life is saying Biden is still scraping all the gum off the tables that Trump left. He isn't a magician and can't fix everything overnight. That would be like trying to clean up a frat house after a party in 5 minutes. But the thing is, he has not done one single thing that he promised. He could do so much with executive order. This has nothing to do with Trump. And people keep giving these people justifications for these actions when they don't deserve it.
Yeah, you've had 11 months now, right? So 11 months of a presidency.
No.
Yeah, January.
Well, today's, 10 months. Okay.
Well, today's November 1st. So, all right, 10 and a half months, 10 months. And I agree. Look, you can't undo a lot of things that are put in place by a former president. So I will give Snarky for
life.
Well,
he spent a lot of money. But he spent a lot of money for stimulus packages, even for people who may not necessarily have needed them.
Well, what I'm saying is, yes. Okay. So stimulus packages, there are a few passed. But they weren't even as big as the ones that President Trump passed. He has the power of the executive office and the power of the presidency to Elizabeth Warren calling for $50,000 student loan debt reduction. Right. Chuck Schumer calling for $50,000. He could get out there and say with a stroke of a pen, I'm going to make a significant change in the United States.
Well, right. That's the point. Most of what he campaigned on, he could have done with executive action. Most of what he campaigned on, the student loan debt. Yeah.
But it's interesting when you think about how the American people responds to like direct checks in the same way they did with the President Bush stimulus checks, right? You send checks out, you raise your popularity. It's really as simple as that. And Tom Wheelwright makes the point from the Wealthability podcast that he gave stimulus to people who didn't necessarily need stimulus. He just handed it all out to make sure that he could get voted in, right? So he spent a lot of money. Arguably money that didn't even need to be spent. But then when it comes to these pieces that are like investment type spending, he's not willing.
Well, I disagree with it because what he actually did was, if you're talking about being inaugurated, he wasn't even yet inaugurated.
But he had announced the stimulus plan right before the election. And they were... It was an arm wrestling competition between Trump said this and Biden said this.
December,
and who won?
Well, in December, of course, Trump, so he was still president-elect, Trump passed that stimulus bill right before Christmas, right? And then you have the Georgia runoff election where Biden promises $2,000 stimulus checks if you vote for these guys. And then that didn't happen. So we're going to get checks out next week if you vote for these guys in the Georgia runoff.
Which he couldn't even do. It wasn't even possible
for them to get this out. I mean, because we saw how long it takes the IRS to get stuff out in the first place. So infrastructure-wise.
But he wasn't in power during the Georgia election. So he wouldn't have been able to, right?
So people bought into this idea. My point is that there's been a lot of missed opportunities here for this president.
But a lot of spending, I guess, is my point. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. Yes, there's a lot of things that haven't been done, but there's still been a ton of spending on things we don't necessarily need.
Right, and a lot of it goes to big businesses. So right.
Like an 85 car escort.
Yeah, an 85 car vehicle, whatever you call it, motorcade. Like 85 vehicles that you and I are paying for.
I would like to know what it costs, because did we ship those vehicles over somehow?
I mean, well, we have, I know the Beast, the Beast that is the main presidential car, the one the bulletproof one.
And zoom into the license plate.
I don't know.
It's not a Democratic plate. No, that's an American plate. Because the Democrats, the bureaucratic plates have red writing on them.
In Europe?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So these are American shipped cars. Like, we shipped these cars to Rome so that President Biden could ride around Rome, 85 of these cars.
I mean, I understand you can't maybe secure a president in a car that's rented.
Right, you can't go to Hertz.
And get for Joe Biden.
Can we have do you guys have one of your bulletproof cars? Joe needs a bulletproof car.
Sorry, the Pope's using it this weekend. And they're like, we don't have it. How many times have we done that? Tried to go somewhere and they don't have the right size car seat for your kids. That's why we travel. Yeah,
couldn't they have borrowed the Pope mobile?
I mean, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Pope could have let him in trouble. So President Biden in trouble, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the Virginia, in the gubernatorial race. Can Terry McAuliffe withstand this this Republican attack from Youngkin? You know, and there's no mention also from Youngkin of, he was a Wall Street guy. He's worth like hundreds of millions of dollars. No mention of that.
No.
The Democrats aren't attacking him on that issue at all. You know why? Because Terry McAuliffe is also a multimillionaire. So they can't use that argument. So these like two millionaires going against each other.
Yeah.
He can't be the populist every guy. And they can't play the Wall Street card with Youngkin. So they're leaving that out of the whole thing. You know, they're just saying he's a Trump guy. So anyway, Biden in trouble. We'll talk about more as we keep an eye on that over the next few days. We'll have the results, by the way, on Wednesday. For
these races.
Exactly.
We should.
All right. Let's talk about this story, shall we?
Yes, this is your story.
Well, it's both of our stories, but I think that this is a really amazing story from the New York Times. The New York Times looked at, you know, and most of the violence, the shot by cop violence that happens in the United States ends up happening at traffic stops. What you would say, they would say are routine traffic stops that then turn violent. They turn violent for a number of reasons. But one thing that the New York Times has looked at is that the demand for money from the police departments pushes police officers to go out and do these quote unquote routine traffic stops.
Right. They have quotas that cops have to write so many tickets for so many things. And that's why you see even more of these incidents happen towards the end of the month when the cops know that they have quotas to hit.
Right. So, and then people get killed, right? 400. Yes. So in these traffic stops, 400 people end up getting shot as a result of being pulled over for a broken taillight.
Disproportionately people of color.
People of color who then, and it rises to the level, they, even on the New York Times on their website, I tried to pull it up here and I couldn't because it's blocked behind a paywall, but they've got a video of a traffic stop that starts out with the guy pulling over a black security guard. And he has a tail light that's out, I believe. And he says, "Why did you pull me over?" And he said, "Well," and it was towards the end of the month. He said, "Because you have a tail light that's out, and so step out of the car. Step out of the car." That's right. Like you get. I've got had a tail light that needed to be fixed.
Yeah.
And no one asked me to step out of the car. And he's like, "What are you talking about? Step out of the car!" And he starts yelling at him, "Get out of the car right now! Get out of the car!" And then it turns to violence, and 400 people lose their lives because of this demand and this quota.
This is crazy, and you cannot incentivize a public service like a business. And this is, you know, this is one of the things that goes wrong when we try and create these public services such as firehouses, schools,
right,
and police departments that operate on a profit-based system, right? Obviously, you need money to hire teachers, to hire policemen, to hire firefighters. But firefighters, that has to be a loss leader, right? You can't go start fires in order to give the firemen something to do,
right?
This is exactly what's happening. You cannot go and start stuff in order to make money. And what are you going to make money on? On this guy paying his fine, right? And then that helps to fund the police department. No, this guy now can sue you. And what was the serial podcast that was about the city, about Ohio?
It was the third in the series, I think.
The one where she had talked about how a lot of times when someone then sues a municipality, the municipality just straight doesn't have it. Like, you may get a payout from, you know, you hear these stories like, so-and-so was roughed up and it was some kind of racial profiling. And so they sued the city of Cincinnati, and the city of Cincinnati just basically does not have it. So that so-and-so is not like rolling in some cash now because the cops beat him up, which is not preferable for anybody, right? That so-and-so maybe, I'm not sure exactly how they get paid out. They do over a period of time, but the cities continually go broke and they just settle the cases like, "We can't pay for that. We can't pay for that." It's crazy. This is crazy town.
And think about like all the money. Like if you look at the militarization of the police, they're buying tanks and, you know, military grade weapons and stuff. And that stuff isn't cheap. So it's like they're justifying those costs as well. So it's like it's not just because they're trying to pay police and all that other stuff. It's like they're becoming quasi-military.
Militarized.
Yeah. Why do these police departments need tanks? And they're buying these heavy equipment now from the U.S. military when they're decommissioned, basically. And it's really stunning. I mean, you look at the amount of money that they're trying to raise from these traffic stops. And the question is, you know, why do so many of them turn so deadly? That's really, I think, the question at the heart of this. And they found in this months-long investigation that during the traffic stops, police killed more than 400 people who were not wielding a gun or a knife or under the pursuit for a violent crime.
Okay, so what is the posit then? Toxic male masculinity or?
Exactly. Thanks to police culture and training, many officers have been conditioned to believe wrongly that traffic stops are high risk, the report explains. Research has indicated that the chances of a police officer being killed during a traffic stop are actually fewer than 1 in 3.6 million, right? But they're conditioned to say that those are very high risk. So these high risk mindsets then lead to overreaction, hyperviolence against people who are not a threat.
Well, what instance are they told that is not high risk? Can you tell me one thing that they don't show up on high alert?
Good question.
Cat in a tree?
Right. When? Yeah.
The cats are all getting shot because they're so hyped up when they get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, good question.
And it's interesting, too. I remember
DARE classes? Right. You don't get killed at DARE classes.
They're all like Tackleberry.
Yeah, they are. I'm saying all of them from Police Academy.
Oh.
And according to this report, black drivers were overrepresented in the deaths. So of the 400 people who were killed not wielding a gun, who do you think ended up suffering the most? It was blacks. Black drivers were overrepresented in the deaths, the Times said. Officers consistently avoided criminal liability for using deadly force also. In all the deaths, only 5 officers were ultimately convicted of wrongdoing. Over 3/4 of the motorists who were police killed over 3/4 of the motorists people killed were trying to flee. Policing experts say that happens, that when this happens, the correct tactic is to let them drive away.
So, I mean, this is, go ahead, Naomi.
No, you go ahead, please.
I was going to say, this is basically exactly like, they're being trained basically like the military. The military is trained that, you know, brown people overseas are terrorists. Hate them, they're trying to kill us, all this other stuff. And they're basically taught that we are that here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if I could just play a little devil's advocate though, right? If you're the police chief and your cops are not writing tickets, but you still think people are driving like a-holes, do you think that, like, hey, we got to write more tickets so that we have a safer road, right? We did a story in the newsletter recently, which I hope you're subscribed to, morninginvest.com, free newsletter, about how people are dying more and more at the wheel. There was more fatal car wrecks in America than in other places. And researchers attribute this to the fact that American roads are wider than they are in other countries, therefore built for speed, and people then go faster and kill one another, right? And so what do you do about this if you're the chief of police and you actually do want a safer road, right? And so I'm just saying, I don't have an answer to it.
Well, but the federal government does. Well, the federal government does, because as the Times points out, the federal government effectively subsidizes some of these ticket writing efforts. Some $600 million in federal grants are awarded to states each year to improve road safety. And at least 20 states have used similar numbers of traffic stops per hour to judge police performance and have cited those metrics when applying for the grants.
Okay, but then what this tells us, right, if these two pieces of research can be juxtaposed,
right,
then it's not working. Right. People are dying more behind the wheel or just passengers in a car because people drive worse than ever, faster than ever, but only we're pulling over people of color to get it right. So that doesn't work. So then I don't have an answer. I'm just rhetorically asking what will work, will create safer roads? Because I am afraid to drive my kids around in the U.S. in a car.
It's funny. Go ahead.
One thing would be to decouple the grants, right, based on the performance of number of traffic stops.
Right.
Like, okay, so we have more.
That won't make the roads safer. What will?
Right, so that's one thing, though, because it's leading to more violence, right? It's leading to more traffic deaths. It's leading to more people being shot by police, right? So,
but that's not moving violations. That's not death by a car accident.
Right, but I'm saying if you decouple that piece from it, and then we could address the other piece, right, David, which is like fixing the roads, maybe through infrastructure or having grants that aren't tied to police performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like I was saying about the military, when you're a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And they're basically a hammer. You know, they're being trained to be hammers. And it is 100% in their training because they need to be trained to de-escalate before escalate. They need to be trained that not everything is a threat. They show up on every scene level 10. They should be showing up at like level 2.
But they exist to make the roads safer and they're not.
Correct. Right, but the argument.
So now let's take race out of this. Let's take the traffic stops out of this. Then what will actually make the roads safer for people?
Well, the point is that they, and I guess what the report really tackles this too, which is that there's an idea that these traffic stops make us safer. And turns out that actually they don't. That these traffic stops don't make the roads safer at all. They're for minor infractions that don't do anything to make us safer on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, so how do you make the road? Are you talking about like physical pothole safety?
No, I'm talking about how do we get people to stop dying in car accidents that are speed related specifically?
Elon Musk, electric cars.
Yeah, that's what someone in the chat was saying.
Yeah.
Or you have like
speed
the black
limiting cars.
Speed limiting cars in certain zones that you can't go more than 5 miles an hour above the zone. The car will not allow you to do that. By the way, they already have this technology.
Because what I'm pointing out is that this needs to be a part of the conversation. Because if you push this to, say, a police chief and you say, stop pulling over black people and subsequently shooting them. How about that? Then the response will be, well, we're trying to make the roads safer, right? To which I say, you're not. People are dying. So what's the real solution? So let's come up with a real solution so we're not pulling over people for, you know, a
tail light
out.
There's no profit in that, though. There's no profit in not having that, you know?
Yeah, okay, so then that ends the argument, right, at this point?
Yeah, because,
right.
I mean, what in this country is not profit-motivated? I mean, if you've got for-profit police stations, for-profit prisons, then they're just like a corporation. They have to make profits for the shareholders or else that's, I mean, it's actually illegal for them not to. We would need to remove the profit motive out of all of these services in order to even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll sort of wrap it up with the main crux of this, which they say a hidden scaffolding of the financial incentives underpins the policing of motorists in the United States, encouraging some communities to essentially repurpose armed officers as revenue agents searching for infractions largely unrelated to public safety. As a result, driving is one of the most common daily routines during which people have been shot, tased, beaten, or arrested after minor offenses. So, going after them for, their thing has expired, their tag has expired.
You didn't use your blinker.
Right. You know, I get it. So this guy says, you know, why'd you pull me over? My tag's expired? You want me to get out of the car now? And then it leads to somebody being shot?
Yes.
Like, really?
That is not right.
This is what we have.
Okay, well, we're going to move on, but before we do, we want to tell you about our show sponsor. We want to talk about shipping. Now is the time, obviously, to think about what you need to send for the holidays. You already know that there's a supply chain crisis, and you already know that there is a crisis in deliveries of everything, right? So now is the time to start to think about how you're going to ship things to your customers, to your friends, to your family. If you are mass shipping, you should be using ShipStation. ShipStation is easy, it's quick, it allows you to send bulk orders without doing it one at a time. If you've ever had a mass amount of any kind of product and then went and tried to automatically ship them yourself and then print the label and match the label to that thing and then take it to the post office. No, you don't have time for that. You don't want to waste your gas. You don't want to waste your time. Over 100,000 sellers have used ShipStation in their business. ShipStation works with all the major carriers and gives you exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS so you can compare carriers and choose which one's right for you. Instead of, I often have done this where I'll open a tab, one that says DHL, one says UPS, and one says FedEx, and I just put it all in and see which one is the fastest and the cheapest. That also is a waste of your time. So go to ShipStation, let them price compare for you. Small businesses can now access the same bulk rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or the commitments. It is never too early to start prepping for the holiday rush. In fact, I would argue it's not early at all anymore now. We're in the holidays. We're in it. We're here. We go here. So get ahead. Start with ShipStation. Our listeners can use the offer code INVEST to get a 60-day free trial just in time for the holidays. That's 2 months of stress-free holiday shipping for free. Go to ShipStation.com. Click on that microphone up at the top and enter in INVEST. ShipStation, where you can make ship happen.
Right there. See that little microphone? Click on that and you put in your code right there. thanks to ShipStation. Yeah. We got to get... Natalie's been doing the Christmas shopping early this year because of that very reason.
Yes. Yeah.
You got to. You got to. All right. Let's talk about this next story. I want to talk about U.S. food safety. This is a story you probably won't see.
Or lack thereof.
Anywhere else. Yeah. Or lack of food safety across the United States. ProPublica has done a really interesting in-depth study about food safety in the United States. I mean, just show of hands. Let us know in the chat. Do you think the American food system, the American food safety system is safe? Just let us know. Show of hands. Yes or no. Maybe we can even do a poll. In the chat, David, if you want to throw up. Can we do a poll? I guess we could do a poll, right?
Yes, we could do a poll.
So ProPublica did an entire investigation of the food system in the United States and how it basically failed to stop a salmonella epidemic. When the government knew about it and the companies knew about it, and it's still happening. So we kind of paint this picture from May of 2018, when this strain of salmonella caught the attention of top disease detectives in the United States. In less than 2 months, the bacteria sickened more than a dozen people, nearly all of them on the East Coast. Many said they'd eaten chicken. And the federal food safety inspectors found the strain in chicken breasts, sausages, wings, during routine sampling at poultry plants. Multiple poultry plants. All of this same strain that was making people sick. Victims were landing in the hospital with roiling stomach pains, uncontrollable, you know, issues, diarrhea, violent bouts of vomiting. The source of the infections seemed to be everywhere. They couldn't stop it. Well, guess what? And then people were dying. A one-year-old boy from Illinois, a 105-year-old woman from West Virginia. There was a teenager who just returned from a service trip to the Dominican Republic, and they were all had this issue, and they couldn't really pin down where it was. But the thing was that these plants and the government knew that the salmonella outbreaks had been taking place at these plants.
Yes, and it says that the agency relies on standards that it cannot enforce. So when it actually finds outbreaks, it can't really shut down the cause of this. They don't even necessarily shut down the factories.
Why?
They just don't.
They're like, oh.
They don't feel like it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, these are lobbyists. They make a lot of money. You know, yeah. We can't. So you mean to tell me we have a food safety inspection system in place in the United States that is supposed to protect our children and our families from outbreaks of deadly diseases that can be stopped at these plants? And most of the time, the reason that we have these outbreaks of salmonella and other things is because of overproduction.
Yes.
Of a lax safety standards because they're just trying to increase their bottom line.
Yes.
They are making workers stand there and work for hours and hours and hours without even going to the bathroom. We saw the video of the chicken poultry guys cutting chicken and turning around off of the conveyor belt and urinating on the floor because they didn't have time to go to the bathroom. And then they turned right back around and started handling the chicken again. Like, they don't have time to go to the bathroom.
Yes. And that's why we saw earlier this year there was the lawsuit against the pork producers because the Humane Society wanted to limit the amount of animals they could process per hour. And that went all the way through the court system and it still is, actually. No, actually, I believe it was settled. But it had to do with how many animals they could produce. And the companies did not want a limit on it. They wanted to be able to push as, and the Humane Society was saying that's dangerous for humans. It's dangerous for the animals, and you cannot ensure the safety of there. There's no way to, because of the bodily fluids that come out of a slaughtered animal, right? To get that away, to make sure that the flesh doesn't rot in a certain time and doesn't create disease, right? It's just not possible to mass produce quickly and safely, but it still continues to be done. And it will continue to, because we're so worried now that we won't get ample amount of meat in the American diet. And we're like, oh my God, well, we really have to keep buying it, right? Yeah. It's crazy and it's disgusting.
Well, if you think about the American grocery store, like what have European countries done? Well, European countries, in order to cut back on this problem in grocery stores, have dramatically reduced their salmonella and poultry by combating it on the farms where the chickens are raised.
Mm-hmm.
But over the past 25 years, the U.S. hasn't done this at all. has failed to bring down the incidence of salmonella and food poisoning, even at the rates for E. coli and other bacteria have fallen dramatically. So they've gone after that, you know, so making sure you're not getting your E. coli and your milk and your other stuff. But we still can't stop the salmonella because we're just too afraid of going after these companies to tell them that they need to clean up their act.
Yeah.
Well, you can't mess with their profits. I mean, if you start dipping into people's profits, then, you know, they don't have lobby money, so...
Exactly. Right. And it's amazing, as they point out, the USDA, which inspects this meat that we're looking at here, unlike its counterparts in some countries, has no authority to control the salmonella on farms. None.
So who does?
I mean, no, they're the ones in charge of this. I mean, the reason we have the USDA, the reason we have these food safety stuff, if you want to go back to like Upton Sinclair, I mean, a book we probably all read in high school, right? Upton Sinclair, The Jungle, right? Which talked about the deplorable conditions of the pork industry in Chicago and other parts of the world back at the turn of the century in the 1900s. And because of his book, we now had food safety standards. You can't just drag a corpse of a pig through the streets of downtown Chicago and then take it to the butcher and then cut it up and sell it to people. Like, we have to have standards now.
Yeah.
But
also in Europe, it is more common to not buy cellophaned meat from the grocery store.
In Europe, you go to a butcher.
You go to the butcher and that butcher orders from the farm.
Local farm, exactly.
If I want something, I ask, and like I have to give them a lot of heads up for buying a turkey because they don't just have it. And they have to call the farm and see if they've got it. So this mass production, like any meat that you have in cellophane, you should be especially worried about. And especially, I know I say to read this book all the time. I hope that you do. It's called The Secret Life of Groceries. If you read about shrimp, specifically the like pervasiveness of shrimp in our diet and where it comes from and the human cost of it. I will not eat shrimp again, especially if it's frozen. I just refuse because it just makes me so sad. Unless it's like you're somewhere and that is the local catch.
One last thing on this chicken issue. David, you were going to say something, but I think
Yeah, I was just going to say that the meat industry, you know, you got to think of like who lobbied to have the food pyramid created in the first place, the first food pyramid that really put meat at the highest, you know, that's what you need to be eating, lots of meat and all this other stuff. They are one of the biggest lobbyers of Congress.
Yes.
To get things right. Passed.
And the lobbyists are what shut down Michelle Obama's big, like, let's have a healthier diet. You know, she really wanted to get kids growing their own food, not eating processed foods. Lobbyists shut her down. They're like, you need to shut your wife up because we're not having that. And then she turned towards like, okay, well then let's all get fit, right? Whereas when she became first lady, her big thing was to reduce processed food. She talked a lot about like eating fresh broccoli, and she got in big trouble for that from lobbyists. So she turned her whole platform towards movement. And that in and of itself just makes me want to weep.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, it just boils down to these services being for profit. Yes. And just so you know, the poll numbers, do you think food system in the U.S. is safe? 8% yes, 92% no out of 256 votes.
Wow. Oh, God. Well, if you guys want to check your chicken, there's I want to help you guys do this. So on we'll have a link. But if you go to ProPublica, they have a chicken checker, which is really good. And you can actually put in the P number. Okay, so on all your chicken, it has a P number. See that P2822? And that P number tells you which plant it came from. And when you type it in here, you put it in, it'll tell you whether or not that plant has had salmonella at that plant who processed it. So you may or may not want to do this because you're going to find out that, oh, my God.
But you don't want to get salmonella. Yes.
Right.
So.
Do it before you eat it, not after, because it would be a lot worse if you
looked at it. Yes. So anyway, go to ProPublica.com. You can go on their chicken checker and you can punch in this information to find out if your chicken is safe for consumption. Anyway, our American food system once again proves to be one of the worst in the world. Thanks, America.
That is disgusting.
Keeping us unhealthy.
Okay, let's talk about what's trending. This is a segment where we're going to tell you what's awesome or maybe not awesome and happening on the internet, trending on Google and Twitter, and you can get involved in the conversation or look it up yourself. Okay, Steve Buscemi is trending because people loved his Halloween costume. He dressed as his own meme. Now, you may remember he was on a 30 Rock episode where he plays this like 21 Jump Street like detective, and he comes out at a high school dressed like that and he goes, "How do you do, fellow kids?" And that's sort of the meme. And so because that meme has become so popular lately, he dressed as his own meme, which is great. Everyone loves Steve Buscemi.
Oh, he's in the red. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what he wears in the 30 Rock episode where he's like...
What?
I don't know. It's so silly. Like, he's got a skateboard and he's pretending... And he looks like that age. He's pretending he's in high school. And he's like, how do you do, fellow kids? He's really stupid.
I love Steve Buscemi.
So, anyway.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great. Okay. I debated about this one. I am going to tell you about No Nut November. This is an online challenge that asks men not to ejaculate during the months of November. So if you click on that, No Nut November, those are the... Yeah. I originally thought, I was like, oh, we're going nut free. Okay. To like
no nut allergy.
Promote allergies. It's not at all about that. It's a bit racy. So these are the rules that you just cannot ejaculating. Now, in all of my tweets reading up about this, because I'm like, why are we doing this? So some say it's about willpower or strength. The others say it is to raise money for prostate cancer. Although we had a story in the newsletter recently that said that actual regular ejaculation does help prevent prostate cancer because it's a healthy thing to do. So like,
I'm not
going to
get it.
So going without this for a month, I don't think really does wonders for your prostate. It may actually promote prostate cancer. An alternative view is that this is a precursor to destroy your D December.
Oh, destroy your D December.
Which is like an advent calendar for doing ejaculation. So you do it once on the first day of Christmas, twice on the second, three times on the third day of Christmas. This is so stupid.
Well, at least it doesn't double. At least it doesn't double each time because that could get out of hand.
This, it doesn't double. It goes up by one. Well, it will go up by 12 by the end of the, you know.
Wicked Insanity in a chat says he had prostate cancer. And yes, it is true.
It's true that regular ejaculation is actually healthy for you. Yes, there's a reason our bodies are made to do this in a healthy way. So I was not familiar. I know what Movember is. I didn't know what No Nut November is. Now I know. Did you guys already know this in the chat room?
It's like Kramer. Kramer's like, well, it's November 1st. I'm out. I'm not.
Oh, yeah. They had the no self-love competition on Seinfeld, right? Wasn't that a Seinfeld episode?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm out. What? All right. We just started it. Well.
All right. Samhain is trending because that is the pagan holiday marking the darkest night of the year. It's spelt like Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain. You want to pull up the Celtic. So this is the Celtic wheel of all of the, it's like nature's holidays, right? Samhain ends the harvest season. It's when you collect all of your fruit that you've grown, vegetables that you've grown, and the leaves give their trees in the northern hemisphere. So I guess people wanted to Google what is the origin of Halloween because these Samhain traditions have carried forth into our modern day Halloween. In fact, I've been taking a class on this Celtic wheel because I like to understand like the various natural holidays and the way, because it informs your planting as well, 100%. And I am a amateur but avid gardener. So I posted this on Twitter yesterday that in the Celtic origins of Halloween, the Cailleac is the goddess of Samhain, and she asks for endings. She's like a hag, right? She's portrayed as this ugly hag, but she wants like the last of the harvest, dead leaves from the trees, bloods of animals that would not last the winter that you're gonna slaughter. So, you know, we sort of see her as this ugly witch-like character, but there is a real purpose to endings in our lives, right? They create space for us to have the next thing. So wearing a costume or a mask symbolizes letting go of what you don't want and becoming what you do. This is the Celtic New Year today, so you are free to make traditions and resolutions.
I think that sounds like she's pro-nut.
She would be pro-nut, yeah. I mean, she's not asking for your, you know, I don't think celibacy. She wants to... Clayton just gave me a this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I Because she'll say it, and I'm like, no, no, no. Like, that's the stuff. You'll give me the eye, the stink eye about saying stuff. Like, and I'm like, I know where you're going. No, stop. Stop right there.
Okay, Samhain. That was your lesson for the day. We're
Samhain,
done.
Samhain. How do you spell Samhain?
It's spelled like S-A-M-H-A-I-N. See it in the upper.
Samhain, I see. Okay.
Right, but it's not pronounced Samhain. It's Samhain.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
What else
is trending? You know, Celtic words are kind of hard. Like the Kalyuk is spelt, you know. Like, yeah, I can't say them nicely. I don't have that accent.
Okay.
Handball is trending because new rules by the International Handball Federation say that women players can now opt out of the bikini. So if you click on that.
I'm glad we have both a handball story and a no nut story.
They're not related. They're not related. This is not for the pleasure of your white male gaze, Clayton.
Sorry. I'm not looking at anything.
Okay. Why don't you go to this one?
This one.
Bikini 2. Okay. So you may recall that during the Olympics, the Norwegian team was fined for not wearing bikinis. The singer Pink was super pissed off about it and offered to pay their fine. Well, now the Federation has quietly changed guidelines for the women's uniform. Can you click the one right next to it and show that this uniform is now perfectly acceptable? They can wear this tank. They also can wear these
Is it more
shorts.
Comfortable or, you know?
Yes.
It's more comfortable than this?
Yes. Yeah, because that
goes
up your butt.
Could you imagine having that thing up your butt the whole time?
And you're trying to actually
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically like wearing your underwear. And you could pop right out of those. You could pop a boobie out at any moment. Yes, that is much more comfortable. They should, and maybe some women want to continue to play in this because they have forever, but they should have the choice. And I'm all for that.
All right.
And finally, Christmas and Thanksgiving are both trending because the internet is ready to move on. Halloween was yesterday. We're getting right down to business.
Someone just said they were hearing Christmas songs in the background. Or they were
is that
Christmas songs?
Christmas songs?
Yeah. No, it's not. Wow. It's not.
Today.
It's more like spa music.
Yeah, it's called chill hop. Okay. They don't have very good choices on here for music, but
no. Chill hop. Art Sullivan says Natalie's an aggressive woman.
Am I? Why? I didn't say.
I don't know.
What did I say?
I don't know. And wedgies cause chafing. Someone says wedgies cause chafing.
I would be able to do it. I couldn't imagine playing. Like I don't wear tidy whities even to walk around.
Yeah. No. No. Like taking a hike or something. Like I don't want something that's going to be riding up there. I'll come back with a rash. You know.
No. Absolutely. Hey, I got my MeUndies this last week, and I got to say, I love these things.
Oh, I am so jealous because mine are stuck in, they're being delivered right now, but they're like in customs. I'm waiting on getting them delivered. So you got to, we'll have to have a full report on the MeUndies when they're back on the show.
Yeah, totally.
And try and play volleyball in them.
Belinda Edwards says vacuum butt is real.
Vacuum Look what butt. I just did. Okay. I just spilled all over.
See, that's because you have a giant stein of water. You need to have a smaller.
The show's over.
You need to have
it's
a smaller stein.
All right, I'll clean everyone. Up by the time I'm. So remember, I'm not on the show tomorrow. I will be picking my mother up from the airport because she's visiting for the holiday season. Show's going to get a lot better because now I got a wife.
Right.
Well, my mom's in town. So you'll see me on Wednesday and I won't look like this.
And,
it looks like I'm lactating.
And we'll be celebrating No Nut November while you're gone on the show. All right,
so
everyone.
I have a question real quick, and then we got two super chats, I believe, to read.
Okay.
Supposedly, you're supposed to be able to see the Northern Lights all the way down to Oregon right now, and I didn't see them last night. Is anybody in Washington State or Oregon that saw the Northern Lights last night? Just out of curiosity.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm going to go get the super chats really quick. And YouTube, which they make it so like so difficult. Okay, here we go. It looks like they are all from Rumpelgold, almost all. So Paul M with a super chat, Paul M with a super chat, thank you. And Tau Sigma, is it similar to the No Shave November?
Different but same.
Yeah, I guess it's the same. You got to do one. You can't shave for the whole month of November. That's Movember. It's in Grove a mustache.
But you do not do them simultaneously. I guess you could.
Actually, by proxy, because if you grow a mustache, nobody's going to want to.
Exactly. If I have a mustache, you're not going
to
want
to
be near me.
But you can't even do it to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
according to the rules.
I do whatever I want.
What if you, yeah, I mean, and I'm just saying, like, what if you accidentally rub into something?
Yeah, exactly. What if there's a breeze in the room?
Right. Like, I mean, you can't control that, right?
And it actually says, like, no wet dreams, which that's involuntary. How could you get penalized for that?
You get penalized for that. Stop it. All right.
Okay, Y2K. Yes, Y2K was insane. I remember stocking on food and believing the car was going to die. And then House Slytherin. Heck yeah.
House Slytherin.
Oh, that was from my Halloween costume.
Yeah. And when I was in my 20s and I had to walk home at night, a cop would pull me over and demand my ID and run a background check. It was so frustrating. I got confronted walking alone at night by cops so many times they ran a background check every time, and I'm white.
Good gracious.
Yeah, I guess you can't walk at night.
I'm so glad we're paying cops tax money to do that to you. Okay.
Hey, Clayton, can we hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I dressed up as Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber yesterday, and my kids, when we got in the car, they're like, Daddy, you have to do the I'm run.
Ava, go, or no, like Eve, our 5-year-old, she goes, mock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have the briefcase?
She made that
joke. Yeah, Eve made that joke. I was super proud of her.
Wow.
She even knows Dumb and Dumber to make a joke about it. She's like, Daddy, mocking. Anyway. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today on the old broadcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. If you're new here, we do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. So bringing you the stories you're likely not going to see in the mainstream media. And we try to do it in a smarter way. So providing deeper context on the news so you can, I don't know, have a little bit smarter time around the news, right? A little bit.
Think differently and be humble about it. That's sort of how we approach it anyway. We don't know everything and we want to be constant students of the world and share our thoughts with you.
I do know that I'm not participating in No Nut November. But I am looking forward to Break the D December.
It's Destroy the D.
Oh, Destroy the D. All right. See you, everyone. We'll see you mañana. Peace.